Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Musical Connections Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Snow, and this is the show where we connect the music of Newfoundland and Labrador with the world. So come along with me as we discover more about the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. I got another fun one lined up for you this week. This is episode 120 of the main series of Musical Connections. We have released some bonus episodes along the way, and I said I was going to release them over the next couple of weeks, but that was a few weeks ago. It is now April 22nd of when you're going to be hearing this. So apologies on my end. I will try my best to get some more bonus episodes out there, but just make sure to tune in to my social media channels, and you'll find out when they'll come out, because they'll drop when you least expect it. In the meantime, what you can expect today is a wonderful episode with two of my favorite people in the industry. I connect with Jordan Coker and Kirsten Rodden Clark of Quote the Raven. They are celebrating their fourth studio album release, Map the Dark, which is out this week. And they come in to talk about how they made the album and how they were sitting on this for a very long time and how excited they are to finally have it out there to the world. We also talk about the making of the record and their three East Coast Music Award nominations, one which includes Album of the Year for this very record, and it's not even out yet, which is crazy. We also talk about how they formed at a Music Box choir practice, and some of their favorite shows they've played, and some future plans ahead for the festival season. We have all that and more coming up on Musical Connections this week. I always love chatting with Jordan and Kirsten, and this interview was a lot of fun, and it was a long one. That means we had a great time, just to let you know that. We'll get to that right after we get through the newfound releases of the week. These songs came out between April 13th to the 19th, and our first song of this week's Musical Connections podcast will be from independent rock group Dogfished. They consist of Owen Finn, Michael Shallow, Tyler Harrett, Michael Arnold, and Robert Piercy. And they just dropped their brand new single. Here is CSSW to kick off our newfound releases for the week here on the Musical Connections podcast. That was Dogfish with CSSW on Musical Connections. We go now to another new single from Evan Watts Smith. He's got his album Turn On the Light coming out May 16th, and he's celebrating that with an album release show at the Majestic Theater, and I got myself a ticket for that one, and I'm looking forward to seeing Evan Watts Smith celebrate the release of his debut album. We're tipping over with appreciation on what Evan Watts Smith is bringing to the table. And right now, tipping over is the name of his next tune, and here's that for you now on Musical Connections.
I love the way you smile. I love the way the light from your eyes lights up your whole face, and everything around you starts starts to blossom and bloom. Girl, you light up the room just one smile, and the world's a brighter place. Sunrise on an August morning cannot compare to the light that shines from you. What did I do to deserve you? Eyes are blue. First time I saw your face, I couldn't catch my breath, and I had thought my glass was half full. Well, now it's tipping over. I forgot to say when, now you're pouring again. So let's just jump in, bask in this ocean we've made. The sunrise on an August morning cannot compare to the light that shines from you. What did I do to deserve you? Eyes are blue. Without you, I wouldn't know who I am, couldn't do what I do, what I do. I just wouldn't be me. So it's plain to see, for eternity, it's just you and me.
Evan Watts Smith on Musical Connections with Tipping Over. We have a brand new participant for Newfound Releases this week, Gus Gustafsson. Try saying that 10 times fast. You may have heard from him from RPM Challenges in the past, and right now here is a tune that was originally done by Tommy James and the Shondells and was covered by Tiffany in the late 1980s. With a little help from Enoch Addy, here's Gus Gustafsson with I Think We're Alone Now on the Musical Connections podcast.
Look at the way fast as we can, holding on to one another's hand, trying to get away into the night. And then you put your arms around me and we tumble to the ground. And then you say, I think we're alone now. It doesn't seem to be anyone around. I think we're alone now. The beating of our hearts is the only sound. I think we're alone now. It doesn't seem to be anyone around. I think we're alone now. The beating of our hearts is the only sound.
And that was Gus Gustafsson with I Think We're Alone Now. And I am so happy for all the musicians that get to contribute their songs for this segment. And I am happy for this next one as well. We go to Heather Feather. Right now, here's her brand new song from her upcoming album, Together. This is Happy For You on the Musical Connections Podcast.
Not everyone can win, it's true, but that doesn't mean I have to be blue. 'Cause when I know I did my best, I feel good for me and I feel good for you. Even if I don't win the race, I can still put a smile on my face. It's a very kind thing to do, it makes me feel good. Strike out at different things. Sometimes we do so great, we're flying like we have wings. We all have talents and abilities, and what you were good at may not be the same for me. So even if I don't win the race, I can still put a smile on my face. It's a very kind thing to do, it makes me feel good.
For you.
too.
Heather Feather for you on Musical Connections with Happy For You. Our next newfound release comes from a guy we haven't heard in a while. We go to Kirk Wells next. He put out Iris back about a year or two ago, and he worked on that with Ian Foster. Well, here is the title track from his latest EP, On the Shore. Here is On the Shore for you now from Kirk Wells on Musical Connections.
Turns wanders home, where he's tired and alone, and he throws firewood into the stove. Then he looks at a picture of Mary, his love, and he thinks of the lifetime of tales.
And that was Kirk Wells with On the Shore here on Musical Connections. We go now to Liam Peacock. And that name might sound familiar to most people if you've ever seen his graphics for Stingray stations all across Newfoundland and Labrador. You may be also familiar with him if you ever heard of the band Midnight Watch. He plays in that group as well. And now he's got his own solo EP. And The name of the album is called A Face on a Paper Bag, and it's gaining some traction here in Newfoundland and Labrador, and it gets a feature here on the Musical Connections podcast. From A Face on a Paper Bag, here's Liam Peacock with Same Dark Shadows on the Musical Connections podcast.
Travel a time zone away, no one will find me. If I live in a small enough home, no one will care. If I darken the lights on my door, no one will come knocking. And if I don't answer the door, no one will be there. Dark shadows, it's only their names that change. We won't agree that their eyes are watching, so ball up your fists and rage. The shadows will always be strange. If I fight for the money I'm owed, I'll make a new enemy. If I take to the house of the law, they'll join and they'll circle me. If I witness a terrible act, they'll find and they'll follow me.
If I explain everything that I know, they'll make me sound crazy. We both scream at the same dark shadows. It's only their names that change. We both agree that their eyes are watching, so ball up your fists and rage. The shadows will always be strange. Hey, dark shadows, you know the lids off the whole damn thing. Hey, dark shadows, you know the lids off the whole damn thing. Same dark shadows, it's only their names that change. We both agree that their eyes are watching, so ball up your fists and rage. The shadows will always be strange.
That was Liam Peacock for you on Musical Connections with Small Dark Shadows. Our last newfound release of the week comes from a guy that I've had my eye on for a while, and I'm not sure if I had him on the show for this segment or not. Well, it's the first one I can recall. We go to Little Pony Boy, and he has a brand new pop rock track with a little help from David Astoria and 27. There is a 7 in 7, so there's a number 7 in the word 7. Hope that makes sense to you. Here is Little Pony Boy for you now with Ghost in Space on Musical Connections.
It's like every single day I'm feeling different. One day I feel giddy and another day I'm distant. One day I've been flaky and another I'm consistent. Only thing that stayed the same in my brain and my vision.
Sometimes I feel like a rock star living in my dreams. Sometimes I feel like a shell of who I used to be. But that's alright, I still fight. I know who I've got to be deep down inside. Come on, let's ride, and we'll keep pushing forward till we reach the light.
The world of us goes in its void. A timeless truck we can't avoid. Stars burn out, but we're hanging on.
Goes in space till we're dead and gone. Watch the stars fall one by one. I guess I'll see you on the dark side.
If there's one thing that I enjoy the most about doing this podcast, it's getting to highlight the new music of the week, and we just offered you 7 brand new tracks for your listening pleasure. For any musicians in Newfoundland and Labrador that want to be a part of this segment, feel free to send off an email to me, musicalconnectionsnl@gmail.com. You can also head on over to my Linktree and view the Newfound Releases Guide, Linktree/ZachSnowNL, and you'll see in the Musical Connections Resources tab, you'll have a full guide on how you qualify for this segment. And once again, I'll be looking for songs that are going to be coming out between April 20th to the 26th. And of course, the week starts on 420. Blaze it. It is now time to welcome my guest this week for Musical Connections, and I welcome two of my favorite people in the music industry here in the province. I welcome Jordan Coker and Kirsten Ron Clark of Quote the Raven. They're going to be celebrating the release of their fourth studio album, Map the Dark, which is also up for Album of the Year at the East Coast Music Awards. Funny that their album's not even out yet and is already out for Album of the Year. I did have a listen to it the other night, and what a job these guys have done. It's probably their best effort yet. We talked to them about the making of the album, which sees them working with Chris Kirby, as well as with Corey Tedford and Amelia Kern, and writing with some of Atlantic Canada's best songwriters, like Catherine McClellan, Tim Baker, Jared Waterman, Alan Doyle, you name it. They are stepping up their game when it comes to their songwriting. We also talk about their process for songwriting, plus how they got together in the first place, which links back to a Music Box choir practice. And Music Box is a music studio and teaching center in Conception Bay South. And I mention that place a lot, Conception Bay South. It seems like where all the best musicians come out of. And we talk about that, plus some of the favorite shows that they've played, and some future plans for festival season, which I'd imagine they're going to be pretty busy come the summertime. It's always great to catch up with Jordan and Kirsten and get to talk about music and everything else in between. So let's get connecting now with Jordan Coker and Kirsten Rodden Clark of Quote the Raven. Greetings, everybody. Welcome back to the Musical Connections podcast. This is a show where we connect the music of Newfoundland and Labrador with the world. Well, these guys have been all over the world, from Newfoundland and Labrador to BC, to the States, to Europe, and even last year, Australia. I first met these guys in 2015 when they did the Wings of an Angel butterfly release in Bowring Park. And I was just blown away by their harmonies. And they were just about to release their EP, Misty Mountains. Well, 10 years later, they're about to release their fourth studio album, Map the Dark, and is also up for Album of the Year at the 2025 East Coast Music Awards here in St. John's. Who am I talking about, you may ask? I am talking about Quote the Raven, and joining me right now are the members, Jordan Coker and Kirsten Rodden Clark. Guys, hi. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
And this is actually really our first proper interview, because I spoke with you guys after the press conference when you guys were up for those three East Coast Music Awards. I believe you're up for Fans Choice, you're up for Roots, and I think you're up for Album of the Year for Map the Dark.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. Actually, no, Fans Choice video for Already Gone.
Yes.
And then Folk Roots release and Album of the Year.
Yeah.
And the album's not even out yet.
I know. To think that like a record is like critically acclaimed before it's even released, like that's pretty cool. And
it's like it's voted by jurors, so it's kind of neat that like, yeah, it's up against all of these amazing albums, and they thought we should have a little chance. It's a rough chance.
So yeah, it's a rough chance.
It's a pretty stacked category, but we're very happy.
Yeah. Well, personally, I think Kelly Loder's also up for album two. I'm not sure.
Classified.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Vision Connections, Yarish Descendants.
Yeah. This was five.
Jeez, I don't know the other two.
My memory is trash.
What?
My memory is trash.
I mean, like, mine is too when you're trying to keep up with all this music that's coming out. It's been a great year of music so far, and you guys are next to that list. Map the Dark is your fourth studio album.
Wild.
How does it feel to finally have a brand new album out for the first time in about 3.5 years?
It feels a little bit wild because we've been sitting on it for a little while. So I think before we were not rushing, but we were just really excited to release all the music from our last album, and we were excited about this one as well, but we kind of did the single release type thing to lead into the album, so we just tried a different strategy, and I'm just excited for everyone to hear all of them, because it's a bit of everything on that album, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it sucks to sit on it for so long and do this slow, like every 6 weeks you put out another single. It's like the preferred method of releasing now, but you know, I'm still such a big fan of a record, so I'm just excited to say, like, you know, this is a collective piece. There's even more songs that we wrote besides what's on this record, but this collection was, like, cohesive, it felt like. So it's cool that it's going to be released as a single piece. People can listen to the whole thing from start to finish, so.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I'm just going to show this for our viewers here. Map the dark.
There's a gusher.
Pull there's a the gusher on it.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing.
I thought you did it on purpose.
For the record, I just gave up candy, and this is my first one for some time.
We brought some snacks.
Amazing.
We did this off the air here, guys. Yeah,
it's too fitting. It's too fitting, though.
We're keeping this in.
I love it.
But here's the album right here. Without the gusher. It is Quote the Ravens, Map the Dark. And it's a fantastic album from the singles that you've provided so far. Oh, that was amazing.
Was
but anyways, let's get back to the to the record here. Because it is tremendous. It's a tremendous album for what you guys offer so far. You put out Already Gone, I believe, last June.
Yeah.
Or actually, February. No, last February.
Yeah, February.
Yeah. About the video in June.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you also... started the year with Borrowed Time, and then it was Back in Spring, and Tell Me, which was the last single. You co-wrote with your producer, Chris Kirby. Yeah. You keep going back to him for some reason. I mean, like, he's really, really good, and he's from this province.
Yeah, like, why, though?
It's like family, I think. That's why we love working with
him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And you've also wrote this song with Alan Doyle. You've also worked on a song with Alan Doyle. You recorded Godspeed for the Ron tribute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I want to talk about that single now. Talk about the most recent one you put out, Tell Me.
It's, getting a chance to work with Doyle for the Ron Hines tribute was super amazing, and to work with Corey for the first time, too. So it kind of led to these new relationships, and I, being as brazen as I am, like, literally emailed Alan, because he emailed us, and I was like, do you want to write together sometime? And he was like, yeah. Like there was no, like, hesitation, and it was super awesome. Trying to find a time was pretty funny because he had suggested we go to his place for a certain date. And then as the day got closer, he was like, no, I'm getting some work done at the house. We're going to go to Alan Hocko's place. And I was like, what is happening here?
Wow.
Like, well, this would be super cool. Okay, we'll probably meet Alan Hocko in the process of it all. And the day before the write, Alan had something come up and he was away or the house wasn't available. And so I said, it's, I guess, my place. Like, if, you know... And I was a little embarrassed because my cat was going through some dietary issues at the time.
Oh, no.
So, and would literally, clear the house. And so I picked up my cat and I looked at him. And I was like, buddy, this day only, just keep it in. And you know what? Alan came for the right, and he kept it in the whole time.
Oh, so it was that's awesome.
I picked him up. I was like, you'll get extra treats. I'll deal with this later on. Like, it was very much a few moment.
It was really hard to concentrate during that, right,
yeah,
though?
Yeah.
Like, it was so funny. Just knowing that he didn't know, but we did, and we were just, like, thinking about it the entire time.
At any point, there could be, like, a stink bomb released in the house. And so.
Oh, my.
But it ended up being a really great write, and we kind of brought what we had come up with to Chris. And Chris had kind of finessed just a couple of lines and stuff like that when we were in the studio. And so, which he often does, and because he's so fantastic. And he's always got these, like, little nuggets of wisdom and stuff. And so we, very, very happy to work with him on this.
Yeah, and you've also worked on with some really amazing songwriters. And again, this is the same record, no gusher this time. But some of the writers that you worked on this album with, of course, you went back to Chris Kirby.
Yeah.
Very... great friend of yours, and I believe you produced Golden Hour and Can't Hold the Light. And did he work on Misty Mountains with you too?
No, that was a funny story too. Basically, we were supposed to do the record with him, the first one, and he ghosted us.
He ghosted us.
Oh my God.
He 100% ghosted us.
He would argue and say that it was us that ghosted him, but I went back on the email thread and I know that it was.
He did admit it. He went back and he's like, guys, I did leave you hanging, and I'm really sorry about that. So, but. He's basically like family now.
And we had a great time
recording
Misty Mountains. Like, don't get me wrong. It was amazing.
Yeah. But yeah, I know he ghosted us straight up. And we call him Daddy Kirby, though, like behind his back. Yeah. So he's been so helpful to us in the industry. And just
it's truly family.
Yeah, it's 100% that. And they're just so generous with their time. Like him and Victoria, like they're just the best people. And we're so...
stay there when we come through a lot of the times. Yeah. Like, they're just...
Oh, yeah.
They're the best.
Love to meet Chris Kirby in person if he's coming here to St. John's in May. Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Oh, fingers crossed. I don't know if he's coming yet or not.
I think they are coming this year. No. It's really sad.
Oh, they're not?
Their mind. I think they told me that they weren't this time yet.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, Chris, if you're around, if you're watching this, I'd like to get you on the podcast
there
soon.
There you go.
And get more information on why you ghosted them. But and now we have it on record.
There you go.
But Chris has been a... a consistent collaborator with you, a great friend of yours. You had a couple of co-writes with him too.
Yeah.
Some of the other co-writes on this record, of course, you wrote with Andrew Rogers and Mallory Johnson, and of course the late Chris Ryan, God rest his soul.
Yeah.
Tara Spencer you wrote with. You also wrote with Alan Doyle. Tim Baker, you I believe you co-wrote on one of your other two albums as well. Riley Taylor, who was here in the province back in February of 24. And the most interesting one here is Catherine McClellan.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about writing with some of these songwriters, and which one was your favorite off this record?
Oh, God. I think every experience is just fantastic, and it's always like a learning curve. And like, to me, I treat songwriting like an RPG, where like you just pick up little skills along the way. It's like, and each person kind of contributes this what they bring to the table. And like Chris Kirby's skill set is like, he says like, we're making a beautiful room, we're writing a song, and now we need to put furniture in the room. And I was like, oh my God, like I've never put furniture in a room in a song before I met you. Like, you know what I mean? Like where it's this idea of like, you're painting a beautiful picture, but there's not enough detail in it. And so like, learn that from Chris. With Catherine, like, she's so free. Like, it was awesome to just kind of get in the room, and she's, you know, like I would criticize like, oh, maybe this is like too kind of out to lunch or something, or like just not making sense. And she'd be like, no, it like, it makes the song, you know, like the freedom, especially on the song on the record, Olena. It's about my niece and about how she's a little firecracker.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah. So, she was there to like, just kind of be like a support, like for a lot of it, and just, you know, tell it like it is, and which is really cool, because sometimes you do get in your head when you're writing, right?
I do all the time.
Yeah.
I'm easily intimidated in writes, so I will say that the writes with Alan and Tim were very intimidating for me. They were really fun, though, and super, super nice. I think my favorite write, though, was probably when we did go to Codroy Valley with Mallory, Andrew, and Chris. It was just like relaxed vibe, which is good for me, because again, I get intimidated easily. I still don't feel super strong in writing. Sometimes I can write well and other times I can't, which I guess is everyone's story. But for me, I sometimes get way in my head about it. So that was really fun. I loved that weekend. Like, that was one of my favorites. Yeah, for sure.
That's wonderful. So I'm going to stick with this songwriting process. And I'm going to stick with you for this question. What are your songwriting processes like for when you guys you know, craft these songs?
I still think the best way for me is how me and Jordan used to write. Like, we don't write a lot of songs, just the two of us anymore. But I very rarely come up with my own, like, starting idea. So I'm better with, like, I know when we first started to write, Jordan would come in, and he'd be just jamming chords, and he'd be saying, like, oh, I kind of want to write a song about this. Or maybe it would just be, like, mumbling, and then we'd kind of, like, develop a story as we went, which I really like. So, yeah, I don't know. I think maybe it's because I feel like my ideas might not be very good. I don't know. But I'm not great at that. I call myself more the editor. So a lot of the times if Jordan comes to me with, like, a chorus and a verse already written, I'll either edit it so that I feel like a general audience would understand it more, or sometimes rearrange the whole song. Sometimes that happens. So I'm like involved, but I don't know how much lyrically I'm involved, if that makes sense. Hmm. It depends on the song. I don't know. Maybe I'm downplaying it, but
Oh, what do you have to add to that, Jordan?
I find that's kind of the process for a lot of what we do anyways, is like just kind of mumble, spitting stuff out. I think co-writing is the biggest thing for us. Like, we really do love co-writing because, like, say, like, you get those skills from people. And you also, what usually happens during a big co-write is, like, if I came with an idea, like, a more fleshed out idea for a song, and it's, like, 3/4 of a song done, anything that would, like, kind of hold me up from finishing that song, someone can usually go, I got something, like, immediately. And it's just another wavelength that my brain just can't, it just didn't get. And so it's super cool, because a lot of times, like, these songs will be like either a chord progression or an idea and all this stuff. And then we go bring the idea to someone else and they go, you know what? I had something very similar to this. And by putting the two pieces together, it becomes a cohesive song. And so that's what I really love about co-writing. And you also go through this process, I believe, where, like, it almost like road tests the song. because you're putting in front of an audience. The audience happens to be the person you're writing the song with, but they have a constructive feedback immediately where they go, either they love the idea and feel like they have something to contribute to it, or they don't like the idea. And sometimes that's the direction that a song needs to go, is like, okay, well, we'll start from scratch. Mm-hmm. So I've had that happen a bunch of times. But maybe that idea I bring to someone else, they're like, oh, I think this would work. So it's always like, to me, I think of songwriting as like finishing a puzzle. You know, you don't know what the puzzle is going to look like, but you've got all the pieces kind of scattered around and you're kind of collectively solving the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So. And it's a great way that you compare it to an RPG. I mean, I love RPGs myself.
I figured.
I mean, a lot of COVID was me playing Xenoblade Chronicles 1, totally. 2, and 3. So
that's awesome, man.
And building those pieces together and really, you know, come up with the best possible character, or in this case, the best possible song that you guys can write.
Exactly.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Now, where do you feel like your songwriting has evolved? So, like, when you first wrote Misty Mountains in 2015 to this new album you have here, Map the Dark. So, how do you feel like your guys' songwriting has evolved?
I think I make a joke because, like, you watch these documentaries, like the Beatles documentary that they did with Rick Rubin and stuff like that. And they go in and Paul's like, oh, we just learned the E7 chord one day. And like then things kind of took off and they were playing different kind of like different styles of music and stuff. And they kind of came about it organically. And I feel like that's what's naturally happening for us. Like our first songs were, a lot of it was ideas that I had written on paper to like four chords that those were the only chords I knew how to play on guitar. And if I wanted to change the key and understand all that stuff, I literally would just put a capo in a different place without even understanding what any of these things meant. And as we progress and learn more, like write with other people, again, like stuff starts rubbing off. And like, especially working with Chris, because melody is such a, like, it's ingrained in him. And when you listen to him play a piano piece or play something on the guitar, it has like a, and I'm like, oh, well, I love doing something like that. Like, and it, that's been a huge influence. And the more people that I find we work with, the more, again, like we're picking up like tools to add to the arsenal. So as a result, like, I feel like this record is hopefully our strongest because we understand music. We understand each other better. We understand the perspectives that we're coming at for the songs. And the people that we're working with are monster musicians. So, you know, any gaps that we're kind of missing, they fill in like that. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I also think, like, we learn writing skills, yes, and melody and all that kind of thing, but we also, like, take on different genres slightly, which I think is really fun. Like, this record has one song that's a little bit more rocky. It's out already, Back in Spring. And
one of my personal favorites from you guys.
It's one of my favorites, too. I love that song.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you. And I just think, like, that's really cool that we don't really mind experimenting with genre or just kind of, like, whatever lens the song should be on it, which I think is great. Yeah. And so I think you'll hear that in the album too. So yeah, it's just like a collection and we don't try to be tied down by genre, which is
for sure
fun.
Yeah, and I think I had a conversation with one of my previous guests probably about a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know who it was, but like it's hard to keep up with all the guests I'm doing this weekly. But they said when it comes to, you know, putting music to like a label or like, you know, put it into like media personalities or publishers or stuff, media people like myself,
yeah,
we got to like put it at a label to see like what'll appeal to what, like, say, station. So for example, like here in town, you got the VOCM, who's more catered to the folk and easy listening crowd. You have K-Rock, which is more catered to rock and pop. And then also the trad stuff, which you have with Homebrew.
For sure.
Oz FM, MTV. You name it.
Totally.
You got to, like, have those labels there just to make sure to say, okay, who are Quote the Raven? They're a folk pop. They're an Americana duo.
Yeah.
So they fit well on folk stations or country stations or something like
totally.
That. Yeah. Especially, like, with the song you just mentioned, Back in Spring. That is personally one of my favorite tracks off the record, just from what I've heard so far. And you're really, like, going Southern rock with that one. It's really, really cool.
That started as a disco track, which is hilarious.
No, it didn't.
It did, though.
No,
like,
but it didn't. I remember when we wrote it. As soon as we were singing it, I was like, this sounds like it should be rocky and the chorus should just be, like, I know we say Back in Spring a few times, but it should be like instrument heavy. I was like, I don't know. I just hear this like da, da, da or whatever. And so I was like excited about that. And I know they kind of, they were like, I don't know if that's going to work. Like, we should have more words. I'm glad they went with it, but I will say that when we were in the studio, me and Chris just kind of went off the rails. Jordan was like, what is going on? It turned into a dance track. It was wild.
There was flutes and like horn. Yeah, it was wild.
It was wild.
It was like Earth, Wind, and Fire. But it was very much a dancey track.
And I love dance music, so I guess I was in the mood that day.
It was wild.
We'll have to release that demo at some point.
Or maybe like a dance remix. We'll be back in spring. Do 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 do.
You're not far off. It was like.
Oh my god. We need someone to get in and just, because it didn't have drums, because we were like, okay, no, this is, okay. I know I just said we like to experiment with genre, but it was like a little wild. So I just feel like someone needs to come in, add the drums, and then we just release it as a demo for like a laugh, because it is great.
Oh, yeah. But it is definitely, you know, like a step away from what you guys have been used to, like soft rock, kind of easy listening sound, going more like, you know, folk rock and like southern rock.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
But I want to stick with the this album again for a second, because of course, you recorded this with Chris Kirby, you recorded two songs with Corey Tedford, Already Gone, and Borrow Time.
In the Rain.
And In the Rain.
Yeah.
And then I think Borrow Time you worked on with Amelia Curran.
Yeah.
So what was it like working with Corey Tedford and Amelia Curran?
The best, like honestly. Like again, it's super cool because a lot of these things happen mostly by fluke or circumstance. Like, you know, Amelia came into Long and McQuaid one day and I was like, hey, do you want to write together? And she was like, no. And I was like, okay. She was like, but I will produce a song. And I was like, okay. Like, that's super cool. And like, writing for her is a very like intimate thing. So like, I was like, cool. But she was so much fun to work with in the studio. And like, I like her approach to producing, because it's like, it's all about feeling. And it's like, when we're talking about stuff, like, it'll be verbal. Like, there's a verbal suggestion as opposed to, like, what the music needs to do. Like, she would say something like, okay, I think we have really good, solid groundwork here, but there needs to be, like, some kind of an emotional kind of movement, like, to make the track a little bit thicker. And, you know, so that got us really thinking, like, okay, well, like, what instrument, like, do I play an electric guitar here? Do we add different percussion? Like, how do we go about that? And it was the first time we had really done that, because a lot of times, like, we kind of leave it up to Chris to kind of fill in what we add, but it was us doing it that time together as a group, and I thought that was really fun.
That was really cool. I think, like, getting different people's approaches is fun. Because even with albums, I want to go back to, like, Misty Mountains. When we did Misty Mountains and we got people in to do instrument things or whatever, we would just leave them to their own device. So they'd listen to the song and they'd be like, are you sure you don't want to like tell us what to do? And we were like, nah, just do a few passes, we trust you. And it was cool because it was like a collaboration on that part as well. And so I think that's similar when you have a different producer or engineer,
mm-hmm.
because they do bring their own flavor and vibe to each song,
yeah.
which I love, because then you hear something that you may not have thought of originally. So that's really fun. She was really fun to work with, I gotta say. And Corey, like, he is the sweetest man ever. He's so nice and so talented. Yeah. And when we heard Godspeed, we just knew that he should produce a couple of our ballads, because it was just so beautiful. And it was, I wouldn't say simple, but like, more raw, I guess, but like it was just so gorgeous that we were like,
there was nothing else. It was like just the meat and bones of the whole song, which was really cool.
He's so nice.
Yeah. Also a former guest of this podcast too, episode number 50, actually.
There you go.
Awesome.
I'm plugging the podcast a bit, but like, of course, Corey Tedford is remarkable, really fun guy, and really one of the best vocalists New Flannel Labrador has produced ever.
It's funny because we did the last waltz show with him, and it's good because we get to, you know, connect again, and it doesn't happen very often where he's in Nova Scotia and stuff. And it was just sweet. Like, he's, you know, there's no ego there. There's no, like, he is hands down one of the best singers this province has ever had. And, you know, and he has no ego about it. And that is the sweetest thing. You know, like, he just...
I love that about Newfoundland and Labrador, and I love that about the East Coast in general, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even Alan and Amelia, like, everyone just loves music, and they're not...
And they want to see people succeed.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
Collectively. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't think anybody's like, oh, I better, outdo anybody.
No.
It's like, I'm doing it because when I get up in the morning, it's the only thing that makes sense to me. And I think that's the vibe I got from working with all of these people, so...
For sure.
Yeah.
And it really makes the album much more, like, say, diverse in a way, because you're not, like, sticking with the same producer, of course.
Totally.
Chris Kirby is really one of the most talented performers
so
that
versatile.
We've ever produced.
So is,
but getting to work with Corey Tedford, one of the finest soul singers, and Amelia Curran, one of the best singer-songwriters of the new millennium, just getting to expand your reach and expand your genres, like, that'll really make you guys better musicians in the long run, too.
Oh, 100%.
Totally.
It's the best. It's... Yeah, like, we're like sponges. So, like, we're still, we still know nothing, right? And that's the cool thing. Like, the most exciting thing is, kind of assessing what you've done in the run of a year as a musician and then realizing that you still know nothing. That's my favorite thing. I go, oh, we've done all these amazing things. Nope.
Yeah.
We still got to learn.
Imposter syndrome all the time, too.
I mean, imposter syndrome, tell me about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's different for me, being like a media creator versus musicians, but
it exists everywhere, 100%.
I mean, trying to figure out what songs to play, making sure to get in on time, and making sure I ask the right questions.
Totally. Oh my God, yes. There's always something, right? And you always do this thing with the comparisons and all that stuff, and I think that is the sweetest thing about our community, the East Coast community, is that, like, you can make comparisons of, like, people's successes and stuff like that. But I think at the end of the day, it's envy and not jealousy. And I think recognizing that is really special, because you go, Like, I think everything that anyone's ever attained or done here, I think anybody can do if they dedicate their, their time and their mind to it. And honestly, most people will help you do it. And that's a beautiful thing. Like, I don't think you get that everywhere.
For sure.
Like, I don't think in the bigger centers for music that exists the same way it does on the East Coast.
Yeah, like a Toronto or Montreal or something.
Yeah, for sure.
But, like, that's true. Like, I think envy for me largely is what I feel sometimes whenever it comes to, like, putting out the content that I do.
For sure.
I'm very proud of the people that, like, I'm considered to be a part of the media circle with.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm proud of their success. But at the end of the day, I'm also just like, damn, I wish that was me.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think that's in any industry. I think that's completely normal. But yeah, there's also, like, that happiness for that person, but even though you really wish it was you, you're, like, still happy. So happy.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Too. Yeah. I think, that's.
And I've learned a lot from all the people that I've worked with too.
Oh, yeah, totally.
For sure.
Yeah.
Now, going back to how this all started, of course, I've mentioned Conception Bay South on this podcast quite a lot. A lot of the guests in the podcast.
See this?
Kilbride, baby. Kilbride Pride, baby. But, CBS has produced a lot of great talent. You guys are included. Justin Fancy, Mallory Johnson, Darcy Scott. I've had Michael Dinn on the show. Mozzie.
Yeah.
I mean, when people see
St. John. Dalton.
Oh, DJ Albert
Carter.
Dalton?
Yeah.
Who?
Carter. DJ Carter.
Oh, Carter Snow.
Yes.
Yes, spy. Yeah. Never knew that. Yeah. Look, people say St. John's is the hub of Newfoundland and Labrador music.
Might be Seeds.
Try to go outside Paradise and Central Bay South.
Oh, it's too funny.
But how did this all start for you guys?
I was teaching at the Music Box up in Upper Gully. Upper Gullies, right? Upper Gullies.
Yeah.
Is it on the borderline of Kilgrews and the Upper Gullies?
I'm pretty sure
it's Upper Gullies.
Gullies. Yeah,
you're good. So I was teaching there and not really knowing what I was doing, but so glad to kind of have a job there and figuring out how to be a better musician by teaching other people, which is a great thing sometimes. And they were doing, like, a weekly choir thing, and for me, like, any opportunity to get together with people and make music was just, like, I still feel that way today. I was like, oh, I'll join the choir. And Kirsten was a member of the choir as well. And so we would sing, there's five of us. Like, there was never more than five or, like, six of us at a time.
Yeah,
I think it was seven at its max.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It was a very small, like, vocal group. And a lot of times, basically, we would get the same sheet music, or we wouldn't get sheet music. It would just be a lyric sheet. And we'd all try and figure out different parts to sing or be directed to sing a certain part. Mm-hmm. And I think just by fluke, like, they asked us to do a song together one day. And everybody was kind of like, oh, this works really well. So I'd already been playing downtown St. John's, and I was like, yo, Kirsten, like, you know, we can play every Wednesday at the Levee if you want. And she was like, okay.
So. Yep. I was taking piano lessons originally at the Music Box, and Crystal, one of the owners, she kind of convinced me to try to sing. She just was like, I feel like you can sing. I just feel like you can. And I was like, oh. I had been in choir in my school and stuff like that, but I was very stage shy, I guess. I had like lost all my confidence through school, you know, typical story. But But yeah, so I was trying to do voice lessons, and she convinced me to join the choir as well. And yeah, and met Jordan. And technically, I met him in a drive-thru, but that can be a story for another day.
Oh wow, we'll say that for another podcast.
Yeah, but yeah, and we just started singing together. And Jordan had already been singing downtown for a while and asked me to join. And then we played downtown for like 3 years to no one in the middle of the night. And eventually thought we should make an album. So it's all been very gradual, just kind of like jamming and, yeah, one thing leading to another. It's been great.
I mean, the rest of you say is history, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, a lot. A lot of history at this point.
A lot.
Decade.
even I have to say this too, it's really funny because I went away to college for a year, and Jordan had started in Waterfront, but originally, when he tried out, I also went to the auditions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were going to try and do like a two-vocalist group.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I'm good. But they ended up being like my favorite band, so that's funny. Yeah. I was like, I'm glad I get to watch this, actually, because it was so good.
Yeah, because you spent about a few years of Waterfront Fire before you really took Quote the Raven very seriously.
Yeah, we were kind of like, anytime the Waterfront wasn't doing anything, we would pick up. And that was the kind of process for a while. Like, even when we started recording and stuff, like, it would almost be like, Quote the Raven record would come out, and then the Waterfront record would come out, and we'd kind of alternate back and forth. And yeah, it was just, I don't know, there's something about it. Like, I always loved just the folk music world and stuff, and the rock band was awesome too. It's just really tough to tour with five or six people, and I don't think we had as much of a shot as what we have. And
I think you were willing, though. You would have done it.
Yeah.
Or if you could have. It was just,
I still think, like, you know,
it's a lot of people.
Yeah. This is the only thing I want to do with my life, so I'm willing to do whatever it takes, as long as it's noble and not stepping on throats or anything like that. So.
Yes, no, absolutely. But, like, you probably could have made it with Waterfront Fire. But I think, like, when it comes to, you know, exports from this province, they tend to favor more of the folk and trad and country stuff versus rock and pop. I mean, you may have a few exceptions, but it's mainly, like, a folk and country central export market here in the province.
Yeah, I think you're right. Rock bands they're tougher. I think there's definitely been more of a demand for them in the last couple of years, and you know, maybe a Waterfront Fire reunion is in the works and might happen one of these days. I don't know. Maybe I messaged.
I'll be front and center.
Maybe I messaged everybody in the group to see if they were down, and maybe they all said yes. So I don't know. That could be a thing.
If they're watching this,
yeah.
Maybe a reunion's in the works. But you've done very well with Quote the Raven. Many Music Nell Award nominations and awards.
Yeah.
And you also received an ECMA in 2022 for Folk Roots Artist of the Year.
Yeah.
And last year, your boy right over there.
Amazing.
You've earned our ECMAs. I mean, look at us.
Yeah.
I first met you guys in 2015, and look at us now.
I know, it's wild.
Who would have thought?
I know.
Not me.
No, not at all.
But out of all the years you guys have played together, do you have any memories of some of your favorite shows you've ever done?
A lot of them are shows we'd never do again, but like scary, like life.
They're good, memorable
stuff. But I think honestly, Australia last year was
incredible,
mind blowing. It was game changing in my mind. Like, it was just. We spent 7 weeks last year in Australia between like two festivals and 4 weeks of the Festival of Small Halls. So we were there over 7 weeks, and we got to like literally live in Australia, two different seasons during their summer and their winter, and
travel.
travel around, get to see so many just beautiful places, so many small communities, so many big communities, meet so many people, and I think it just made the world so much smaller. Like there was a lot of nights we were on the road where, like, I felt like if I just got in the car, even though I was driving on the other side, I was like 20 minutes away from CBS.
Wow.
Which was really cool, because it's just like you felt like everybody was so chill. Like, Australia is so close to Canada in terms of the way, like, people's temperament and their kindness and generosity. Like, we were there like not even a day, and someone was like, oh, next time you guys come back, like, you can stay at my place, no problem. Like, and we're like, are we on the East Coast? Like, this is such a, it was so similar to the East Coast. Everybody was so chill.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was the best.
It was so great. Yeah, I loved it there. I tell everyone that it's completely worth it. Don't worry about the bugs. We didn't see a thing. I think we seen one little gecko, and I didn't know if it was poisonous, so I put it in a paper towel roll and put it outside. But I was told after, probably not. But yeah, we didn't see anything scary, and like, it was just gorgeous. And again, like, the nicest people. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. I wish it wasn't so far away. I wish I could just like, mm-hmm, match on to it.
I wish we were neighbors, yeah. It'd be cool if like Newfoundland and Australia were like a boat ride away. Like, that'd be so sweet. Like, just, yeah.
If only there were the money to make that possible.
I know, right? Yeah.
And logistics.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. We've played a lot of cool shows, and I don't know, they're all, you know, it's probably like a cop out to be like, oh, they're all special in a way, but like, they are. I remember one time we rented a theater.
Oh my God.
And five people came.
The Registry Theater.
Oh, wow.
And we played with Jessica Pearson and the East Wind.
And Graham. That was
and
the
Graham
first time
was there.
We met
that was
Graham.
The first time we met Graham Lindsay, who's great.
Oh, wow.
Still our friend today. And it was just such a, it was so funny because it was the first time that we did that. We had to do our own lights, we had to do our own sound. And we had so much fun with a band that we loved. And it was just like a special experience, even though the show itself, I guess, wasn't like the best. But like, it was cool. So I think they're all great. We love festivals, though, I will say. Yeah. I shouldn't speak for Jordan, but I think they're some of my favorite shows
to
do.
Well, as music fans, you know, like, when you get an opportunity to see a bunch of bands at the same time that you're also working, like, it just kind of feels like a...
It's all our favorite things.
It feels like we're taking advantage of people, honestly. Yeah. We're like, oh, look.
Free tickets to everybody else. Okay.
We're on stage with Serena Ryder right now.
Free tickets,
like,
please.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the vibe, right? And like,
we just play music to get free tickets.
Yeah. It's wild. Like, you know, we've done a lot of the biggest festivals in Canada at this point, which is amazing. Mariposa was fantastic.
So fun.
Saw Feist. We opened. Yeah. We were in between Rufus Wainwright and Feist.
We make the joke that we opened for... her.
We did.
I mean, we technically did. We were on the side stage, but it was like...
We had Rufus Wainwright crazy. Open for us, and then we played the side stage before Feist played. So
that's wonderful.
It was so cool, right? So a lot of special moments like that. Vancouver Island, Vancouver Folk Fest, you know, Lunenburg, like just...
We played Strawberry Music Fest. That was really fun.
In Grass Valley, California.
Yeah.
Port Ferry in Australia. The Orkney folk.
Oh
my God.
That's another great spot. Yeah. Like, seriously. Yeah. With the nicest
so
people.
Good.
Like, yeah, that was wild. So, yeah, they're all special, which I know is, again, probably a cop out, but.
They're all
they really
special,
are.
Guys.
They are. They really are. They really are.
There's something to be gained and appreciated from each one, even when they're bad. Like, I, you know, like, there's been places where we're like, I think we're going to be murdered here tonight. And we still had. Like, we look back on it fondly now. Like, you know, we're still alive, so we made it through the nights. But it's at least we can look at that and be like, when everything falls apart, still not as bad as that gig.
No, absolutely. I also was going to mention, you guys got to open up for Lord Huron in 22 at Iceberg Galley.
Yeah.
And Donovan Woods played that same show as well.
Yeah.
What was that like?
That was so good.
It was so much. Do you know what? We don't play with bands a lot, like a full band. Yeah. And so that's always really fun. I think that's another thing to say about like a bigger band versus a smaller band. It's very, it's so much easier for us to tour and to fit into people's schedules and stuff. But it's so cool when we get to play here and get a full band and get all our friends on stage and they get to add what they like. Because sometimes they, again, they're like, oh, do you want me to learn the exact guitar part in the song? Or like if you want, but you can just like play whatever solo you want. And so it's really, really fun. It's a different vibe. Iceberg Alley is a cool venue too. Like, we've never played anywhere else in a tent like that. That is so awesome.
Yeah.
And to be on the bill with those acts, it's just like, yeah, it's just all a dream, you know? So cool. I love it.
Any dream performers that you would like to open up for or play with that is on your mind?
Brandi Carlile.
So many.
Brandi Carlile.
Brandi Carlile.
Joy Williams.
Yeah. I think they would make sense too. Like, you know, they would.
Yeah.
Jason Isbell.
Yeah. Like, we would love to say, like, the bros too.
Rose Landreth. Yeah. Those guys are fantastic. They technically opened for us in Vancouver, but...
Stop it. We played another side stage, so...
Yes. Oh, and you also did a songwriter circle with Joey Landreth back in December.
Oh, also, Joey Landreth is on our new record as well. He plays guitar on Olina, which is very excited. So,
that's wicked.
So talented. My goodness.
Just, I mean, yeah, like, it's very cool to say, like, all right, cool. You know, you have your musical icons that you look up to and stuff like that. But then to say, like, you've done a song with him or done a songwriter circle is like... It's kind of nuts. It's pretty out to lunch. So.
That's really, that's pretty insane.
And I don't think it's fair that someone can be such a good singer and such a good guitarist. Yeah, I feel like something should be lacking, but not with him.
No, he's so good. So good.
Oh,
and he's nice.
He is so
nice. It sucks. Like, he should be a jerk for how good he is, and he's so nice.
We haven't seen a flaw, so.
No. The wonderful, wonderful. Now, one of the opportunities you also got to have back in... So in October 2023, the Junos were about to go to Halifax, and you guys, along with Baraka, Rachel Cousins, and Justin Fancy, were part of this competition to determine who were going to be the Wavemakers representatives at the Junos in Halifax, and you guys ended up winning, and I was so, so happy for you guys. You got to be up the Junos in March of 2024 in Halifax. What was it like that day to be playing at the Junos? Or at the stage?
Well, I will say the lead up to it was wild, because we... always feel like we're not the popular vote, if that makes sense. Like, we're not, I don't know, we just never think we're gonna, I mean, I guess everyone
was a loser in high school. Like, if it was like voting for the class president, I'd be got voted it. The class clown, like 100%. Like, there's no doubt about it. So
we genuinely did not think
we went into that show. I'm not even joking, we said it. I looked at Kirsten, I said it's like, we don't really like doing these competition things. And then we said, oh, but like Rachel's going to be there and Baraka and Justin. Yeah. And I was like, let's just do it to see our friends and like play a show and have a laugh and all that stuff. And so we ended up playing it and we were like, whatever, we're not going to win this. And then when we won it, we were like, oh my God, like what are we, you know? And to play at the Juno, like for Juno Fest, I was like, it was
so
wild.
Cool. Yeah. And we got to play at the Carlton. And that's always a venue that we love to go to. So it felt, like, relaxed in a way, but there was so many different people there because people were just coming out to see the festival. So, yeah, we had a great time. Loved it.
It was one thing that I noticed that night. I think it was actually November 30th that it happened, but, like, who remembers dates at this point?
You better than us, I bet. Yeah. I don't remember anything. Yeah.
I don't know how I do it myself, Kirsten. But when it came to that night, like, what I noticed, those three acts that I mentioned, Baraka, Fancy and Rachel Cousins, they all had bands there, but the two of you were just out there by yourselves.
Again, I think that's a testament to us just kind of saying, like, let's just play it anyways. And I don't know that it worked to our favor or anything like that, but I just, a lot of times, like, I think we've been, you know, we've been to DCMAs a bunch over the years, and we've always got this constructive criticism, which I love. It's like, yeah, like, you guys are good as a duo, but, like, I think you should bring a band. And then the next year we bring a band, and they go, yeah, you know, you got a band, and I really think you should probably just play as a duo. And so we've kind of made it up on ourselves. Like, the nights that we want to play with a band are the nights that we're going to play with a band.
Yeah.
And the nights that we want to play as a duo, we're going to play as a duo.
There's no middle ground there.
No. And I think, you know, or if we, you know, we want someone to come up and just have a, we had Rob Noble play guitar for us for a show there a couple weeks ago. Just him. And we were just kind of like, let us be the deciding factor. Don't let it be influenced
by anyone.
Yeah, because we've played these main stages at these festivals, just the two of us, and we've played the main stages now with a band, and I think the moments when we chose what it was going to be and not it wasn't dictated by, like, what it looked like or what it could, you know what I mean? Like, what our expectation of what to bring was there, they end up being the better knights than when someone's like, you should have a band. You should be the duo. Like, when it's up to us, we make, I think we make the right decisions. And I think that's, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, for sure. Now, on the note of the ECMAs, mm-hmm. for the first time in 10 years, mm-hmm. 10 years, God, we're not counting to 2021 because it was COVID-19, yeah. the East Coast Music Awards are coming back to St. John's May 7th to the 11th. You guys are going to be showcasing for a couple of stages here in yeah. town. And there is something that you want to tell all the listeners out there, and including me. You're going to be doing something May 11th.
Yeah, we are asked to do the Songwriter Circle. We don't know who it's with yet.
No.
That, but you know.
Might know by now, but we
yeah,
don't
exactly.
know.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know yet. We've always looked at that show for the East Coast Music Awards as something that we wanted to do. So it feels like a little bit of a bucket list check, I think, because it's such a cool show and also something that we love to do. Like, we love songwriting circles because, again, it's that mixture of getting to listen to some of your favorite artists play right next to you
yeah.
and also... Mm-hmm. also perform yours and kind of like explain the song and the process and stuff. So it's always our favorite show. We love watching it when we get to at the ECMAs. And so we're excited
yeah,
to be a part of it. Yeah.
It's basically, yeah, for us, it's like one of the biggest honors and something we don't take too lightly. And it's also going to be at the new JAG venue, which is very yes. exciting.
Ooh,
so
that.
That's
so cool.
Yeah. Hopefully it is. Venue. I think so. Again, yeah.
That's
again.
What we've been told, but it hasn't yeah. been announced. Mm-hmm.
Maybe
again,
this is. Maybe we need to redact this, but right now, like,
we might need
yeah.
to do some editing.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, by the time that it is announced, if it is, if it's not, and this comes out, Wendy, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll ask for forgiveness yeah. and permission in this instance. Yeah.
But of course. This ECMA, too, has been mired with, like, a lot of controversy and blowback with all the changes that have been made. Yeah. I mean, you, Jordan, have been vocal about it, so have you, Kirsten.
Yeah.
But we'll be here all day talking about, you know, yeah. the changes that need to be made and what the ECMAs can do to make sure New Flannel Labrador is represented equally.
For sure.
Because it's only here once, and then you have to wait until 2030 until it's back here again.
100%.
But we will get to that in a future podcast.
Yes.
But let's talk more positively about the East Coast Music Awards, because yeah. this is a really good opportunity for us to step up and show what the music scene here is all about.
Totally.
And I've done this with this podcast for 120-plus episodes now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So how excited are you for the fact that the East Coast Music Awards are back in St. John's for the first time in 10 years?
One of my favorite examples of like East Coast friendship is we have matching tattoos with songwriters from all around the East Coast. Daniel James McFadden, Logan Richard, and Carly Fox. We all have the same matching Fives Dice tattoo because we got together. We planned a songwriters circle across the Atlantic provinces, and we didn't go to Newfoundland because it was too expensive. And so for us, it is very special for it to be at home because I think there are so many artists who would do really well here and there's not a whole lot of opportunity for them. And oftentimes...
Or they don't think there is, in yes. which case they don't invest in the trip.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And yeah. you know, it's really hard to go to a place for the first time and do well, to be successful in a tour. The
yes.
first time we toured away from the province, like, again, this is not a shot at anybody or anything negative at all. It is literally just the reality of being a touring musician. When you go to a new market, you probably play to very few people.
Yeah.
Unless you know people in that market. And as a result, being on the island, if musicians here don't connect with the people from the East Coast, and the people from the East Coast don't connect with the people in, like, Newfoundland, like, in that sense, then there becomes this disconnect. And we are so happy that, like, for the last five, now this will be the sixth year we've been to ECMAs in a row, we have been able to meet these people, and not only meet them, but become such good friends with them that we'd, like, literally go to a tattoo parlor in the morning and get matching tattoos with them. So I think that to me, like, if that's not a testament to, like, the beauty of what the East Coast music scene provides, then I don't know what is, right? So...
Yeah, I agree. As much as there's things that need to be changed, and I know we said we wouldn't get negative, but I do think that there is lots of changes that need to be made. But yeah, to not forget all of the beautiful things that we have because of the East Coast Music Awards and the conference, because we've met some of our best friends and some of our favorite musicians to play with. and
watch
and
write with.
Yeah,
write
yeah,
with 100%.
And like Jordan said this a little while ago, and I agree. It's like, where can you go to kind of like complain about the industry and maybe the ECMAs or whatever is bothering you to like-minded individuals? It's like the ECMAs. Like, you know, you're collectively there. It's one of the only times where we're all together in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, I'm excited for everyone to come here and see Newfoundland, especially if they've never been.
Yeah.
It just feels like a family gathering.
100%. Truly. Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's absolutely true too, because like conferences like Music NL Week and the East Coast Music Awards conference, it's really the only place we can all get together and really express our opinions.
100%.
Like for myself, like I've talked about it on this podcast for like the past few weeks, and of course, I'm covering the East Coast Music Awards this year, yeah. So and it's home for the first time. Like I have stories about last year's ECMAs. I mean, of course, took home that, but like,
yeah,
you've seen on social media with the flights and getting stuck 100%. In Montreal,
totally
burning more into the money than I wanted to, but like,
for sure, totally.
And that's kind of, again, that's the disadvantage sometimes of traveling off the island to go to these conferences,
because
it only comes home here once,
exactly.
And then when you're outside the province, people in Newfoundland and Labrador have to spend twice as much money to get off the island than they do here on the island,
for sure.
Yeah. Maybe some artists forget that too. Or, and even like industry, I think it's like, yeah, for 5 years, we've been doing the opposite, right? And the artists from Newfoundland and Labrador have had to put more money into the travel and stuff. So, yeah, I think, you know, because there's been talk sometimes that it's like, oh, well, should it even be here? But it's like, of course it should.
Yes.
You know, we all have to pay a little bit more every now and again, but it should reflect each province
I think it's, you don't foster a music community by not bringing it here. I think you foster the music community by making a part of the mission to support it. Even if they subsidize the artists to go from Newfoundland even more so that there's no expenses, I still don't think it would be as beneficial to the whole East Coast community to not geographically have it at least in Newfoundland once every 5 years. Because there's people who are new artists who have never taken a chance to leave the province, who may never take that chance, and the ECMAs is that perfect reason to go, oh, wait now. There are people, like-minded individuals, who are now here in Newfoundland who took a chance to come to Newfoundland. Then maybe I should take that chance and go away and try the rest of the East Coast.
Yeah.
And I think if we had never taken that opportunity, we wouldn't be musicians today. If we never said, like, okay, well, what's North Sydney like? What's Sydney like? What's it like to go to Halifax to record a record, to perform? If we had never taken that chance, and we would not be doing it, because we would not be able to do it exclusively at home.
Mm-hmm.
It takes us being able to travel everywhere in order for us to continue to make this career work. So.
Yeah. I think it's scary for artists too, and it's totally understandable. Yep. And we know a lot of bands maybe have only tried it once, and then they're like, oh my goodness, you know, I lost money or whatever. And it's kind of like, I think the thing to remember is with any business, with any startup, it's like you are investing first. You're always going to have to invest before you make, unless you have something just completely viral, you know what I mean? but that's usually the way it works. You're spending money to build something that will hopefully make you money at the end.
Yeah, and make it back too.
Yes. Totally. Yeah.
For sure.
But like, advice, if for any people that are out there, please go through Halifax first and not to Montreal. I tell you that much.
Yeah, definitely.
We can start small.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I learned that lesson full hand the ECMAs were in Charlottetown last year. But it was a lot of fun. I got to meet so many great Atlantic Canadian musicians, totally. And also got to hang out with some of my favorite people.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's the best.
And I'm looking forward to doing it here when they all come here to St. John's and really welcome them with open arms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's show them a good time. Like,
there's
no reason why everybody can't keep coming back. And you know, like, that's up to all of us together to show them a good time and to support people coming out. You know what I mean? Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, if an artist is coming all the way from anywhere else in Canada too, like, there's no reason why we can't, you know, stock the ship. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
block it up and all that stuff. So,
yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, and despite all the negative news that's been going around the ECMAs this year, it's still a great platform for people in Atlantic Canada, yeah. and especially here in this province,
sure.
to try to take that next step, but also meet new people and really expand your reach of you know, your songwriters, yeah. Your places to play music and places to record music as well.
Sure.
It can really jumpstart your career, and look where you guys have been to now since, like, especially when the first ECMAs happened here in St. John's, when you guys were really taking Quote the Raven seriously.
Yeah.
To see now you guys are up for three ECMAs, for one for Album of the Year, Folk Roots, and Video. It's crazy.
It is. And I think it is a testament to, like, being dedicated to just trying, like, making a go of it. Because I think so many people are afraid of the failure that comes with it. And we have failed so many times. We keep failing. There's so many, like, every single thing that we do has...
Yeah,
you know, and when I say failure, I mean, like, you know, it's a no in something that you expect to get a yes with, or, you know, some showcase opportunity that doesn't really pan out, or whatever the case may be. Like, or it's just, you know, you don't sell a million records. You don't have a viral hit. You don't have all this stuff. So, you know, if you want to look at that as failures, but what I would say is that all of the successes that we have also come from trying the same way,
mm-hmm.
right?
It's taken time.
And the risks. Right?
Like, there's a lot of delegates and people that we met over and over for up to 3 years before they wanted to work with us or have us at their festival or venue. So,
and the first time we met some of these people, if I could take a screenshot of, like, how their faces looked after I had that first meeting with them, oh man, there was like no chance some of these festivals would ever have hired us.
Yeah,
and
that's
how we
felt, and that might not have been.
No, but
been the
it
case,
still
but
by debate, yeah. like the way they looked, like the deadpan, like there's not a prayer for these two people, you know, like to then 5 years later, like be either friends with these people or have worked with them in some capacity. I think it's just a testament to, like, you may not see the results right away, but there's no reason to burn the bridge, because it could be next year that you start walking over the bridge. You know what I mean? And I think that's such a huge thing.
Yeah, don't take it personally.
Yeah, none of this is personal. And, like, if you don't get an email back in the music industry, like, people are busy.
Yeah.
Like, if you just think about your own life, like, how many times have you missed an email by accident? It's like, there's probably a good chance. You know what I mean? And if it's not work-related, or if it's like, I work on a volunteer board for 3 days a year or something, you know, whatever it is. I think at the end of the day, keep trying with all this stuff, you know, because I think collectively you will succeed at some rate or another in 5 years.
Yeah.
If you're at it for 5 years, you're going to see something happen. You're going to be a better musician. You're going to be a better songwriter. You're going to know more people. You're going to whatever it is. Like, even if it's not genre specific to what you're doing, meeting people in the music industry can help you progress.
Oh, 100%.
Right? So,
1,000%.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't taken those steps, like going back to just talking about myself here for a minute, I mean, of course, Musical Connections.
Yeah.
Like, I started this in 2022, and I think you guys were out with me to Corner Brook when I was recording those podcast episodes at the Rotary Arts Center and at, like, Marble Mountain.
Totally.
And those awards up there, it really goes to show, like, putting all the hard work in and doing this weekly, it can really pay off. But again, this wasn't overnight.
No,
6 years of covering this music scene, 7 years now,
totally.
And then about 11 or 12 years covering media.
Yeah.
Like, I'm probably the biggest victim sometimes of, like, you know, comparing myself to other people.
Yeah.
And again, it's going back to that envy point that you brought up earlier.
For sure.
Like, I really wish that was me, but I think I'm doing pretty good right now. And from looking where you guys were when you started, when you recorded Misty Mountains in 2015 to this fourth album you have out now, or not out now, but, like, out when this drops, you guys should be very proud of yourselves on how far you've come in the decade you guys have played together. That's seriously. Wild.
Thank you.
And I'm very proud of you guys too.
We're proud of you, Zach.
Yes,
thank
man.
You so much.
Seriously.
Now, following the East Coast Music Awards,
yes.
Any other future plans? Is there going to be, like, an album tour, album release show for this?
So we don't have it officially booked, but I think what we're going to do is we're going to do a nice big release show in the fall, and, like, kind of put maybe the vinyl version of the record out as well around the same time.
Sort of like tour into that kind of thing. Like, that would be like the last stop type deal. It would be back on the
Yeah, and we're doing a bunch of stuff all over Canada this year, which is amazing. We're doing a big East Coast run in the fall, a West Coast run later in the fall. We're going to be in Ontario most of the summer, and BC.
We're in BC right now, currently.
We're in BC right now, so. And we're going to be in Denmark, which is amazing. We're going to be at Tunerfest. And yeah, like honestly, it's PEI. We're going to be in PEI and all that stuff. And it's crazy. It's amazing to think, like, you know, a year in advance now, like we kind of know where we're going to end up being. And hopefully we can keep that momentum going with this record.
So. Mm-hmm. No, for sure. Just very quickly, we're going to get to one of those new songs off this new record here on Musical Connections. You mentioned earlier that one of your favorite songs off that record, and one of my personal favorite songs, is Back in Spring. Any more favorite songs on this record?
My two favorite is Back in Spring and Already Gone. I'm a ballad lover through and through all the time. So, like, This Isn't Love was my favorite as well, like, from our past album. So, I love ballads, and I think, again, just, it's the song, but it's also, like, the circumstances around the song and where we were and how fun that weekend was, and, yeah, I love that.
I'm super excited, but like honestly, for the whole record, there's a lot of stuff there that is a full departure from what we've done in the past. Olina for me, like it's about my niece. It's very, you know, very close to the heart. Like it, you know, means the world to me. And like seeing her reaction, she doesn't really care when I play it, but like seeing her will. Like she's very shy. She's like, oh my god, you know, she's a little shy and timid about it, but. That song means a lot. And I also really love House on Fire because we got to write it with Tara Spencer and Chris Kirby. And Tara Spencer is one of my favorite people in the entire world. Like, we've become really good friends over the years. And yeah, it's very much like a tribute to, like, Paul Simon, which is cool. Like,
okay.
Like 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. Like, that's where we were kind of approaching this. Yeah, like that drum, you know all about it. So
oh, yeah.
When you have a listen to that record... Like, that's where we were coming at when we wrote that song. And it was very cool because we don't typically kind of say, like, we're going to write a song like this and it actually ends up happening. Most times it doesn't end up happening and it becomes something else. But this one specifically, like, really did end up kind of getting that Paul Simon flavoring, and very excited for people to hear it. So.
Wonderful. We're going to get to that very shortly. We're going to get to one of those tracks. I'm going to spin the wheel of Quote the Raven and find out which song we're going to play right after this conversation. But awesome. It's been a blast. Anyone who wants to keep on track with this record and what you guys are going to be doing next and new shows going to be playing,
yeah.
Where can people go when it comes to, say, socials and your website?
Yeah, our website is quotetheravenofficial.com. That's where, like, all of our social media links and everything are as well.
We have a newsletter on that as well that you can sign up for. We don't overdo it. We try to do, like, one a month. And we also are Quote the Raven Duo on pretty much every social media.
Facebook. Except for YouTube, we got Quote the Raven. So before it was taken.
Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Quote the Raven Duo.
Yeah.
I think one of my personal favorite TikToks I think I've ever seen. Spotify is not going to pay the bills unless your name is Joe Rogan.
I have a lot of fun on that. So.
If you think you're an expert, you're probably not.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I mean, I'm an expert at all this.
Yeah.
Not. No. Jordan Coker, Kirsten Rodden Clark, you guys make up Quote the Raven. This has been an absolute blast, and it's great to, you know, have you guys as friends and really, like, close friends in the music industry. I mean, you and me text back and forth.
I know, I love
when
it
comes to the ECMAs and video totally. Games and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm great to have known you as a friend for a long time, too. And see how far you guys have come when I first met you at Barring Park.
Yeah.
You guys, again, 10 years at this, you're still onward and upward from here. Yeah. Who knows what you're going to achieve next?
We have no idea.
Guys, you guys are the best. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having us, Zach.
Thank you so much for having us.
I got to say, that was one of the most fun interviews I think I've ever had on this podcast. And I don't say that lightly. I always love chatting with Jordan and Kirsten about everything in between and also when it comes to music. If you want to find out more about what they got in store when it comes to new music and tour dates, visit quotetheravenofficial.com. They have all their social links and streaming links there for you to access. And normally, I would feature a brand new song on Newfound Releases, but I'm going to break tradition today because this album is absolutely phenomenal, and I got to play you one of the tracks off it that I haven't played yet. Right now, from their brand new album, Map the Dark, here's a song that Jordan Coker wrote about his niece. Here's Oh Lena on the Musical Connections podcast.
Oh Lena, you magic ballerina, you're dancing like a rocket around the room. Oh Lena, you make me a believer that everything in life will come to you. When you're cold and lonely and you think that you're the only one around, keep on singing like a sparrow.
What an absolute blast of an episode that was. A big thank you to Jordan Coker and Kirsten Rodden-Clark of Quote the Raven for being my guests this week. To all the musicians who contributed their songs for new farm releases, thank you so much for trusting me to spin your music and for highlighting the music of this province and connecting it with the rest of the world. You are all one small part of a bigger puzzle of growing our Newfoundland and Labrador music sector, one song at a time. And if you're out there listening to this for the first time or just coming back to this show, what can you do to help this sector grow? Well, when it comes to this podcast, here's what you can do. You can follow the podcast and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite streaming services, whether it be through RSS, Apple, Amazon, wherever you get them, make sure to like, follow, and subscribe to this show. And while you're there, once you're done listening to an episode, like this one right here, leave a review while you're at it. It helps spread the word about this show and the music of this province and the artists that are on it as well, so a little help goes a long way. If you want to view full-length video versions of my conversations you hear each and every single week, subscribe to the Musical Connections NL YouTube channel. It'll have full-length videos of my conversations, and Quote the Raven will be up there as well. And make sure to follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and all that stuff to keep up to date with any Musical Connections news. I'm Zach Snow on Facebook and Zach Snow NL on Instagram. And once again, over the next few weeks, you'll be hearing interviews that I've done at the Arts and Culture Center covering the Sons of Aaron and Ryan's Fancy Tribute Concert. I'll be recording some more interviews over the next couple of weeks. And I'll be at the 2025 East Coast Music Awards recording even more. So make sure to stay tuned to my social media because it is going to get busy. New episodes drop every Tuesday wherever you get your podcast. And you can view previous episodes by going to my website, waterfrontmedianl.ca/musical-connections-podcast. And that puts a bow on episode 120 of Musical Connections. Thank you so much for connecting. I've been your host, Zach Snow. Join me once again next week, where once more, we will highlight the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. Stay safe, be kind to one another, and most importantly, and I say this most importantly, stay connected. Until next time, bye for now.